Welcome to our Through the Bible study here on Bible in Depth Network with Alex. In our study, we look at the context of Scripture and how it applies to our daily lives. We also believe that there's no limitation to the revelation of the Word God. Let's study together today.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I hope that you're safe. I hope the Lord has kept you safe and sound. This is a day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and we shall be glad in it. Thank you for joining us for our live broadcast here on the Bible In-Depth Network. We thank you for everybody that is joining us across the world from whichever part that you are. We thank God for you. We thank God for your life. And we pray that He keeps blessing you and prospering you in all ways. This is our time of the study of the Word, of prayer, of worship to God. And we welcome you for this moment. Remember, as we always say, there is no limitation to the revelation of the Word of God. We always believe for God to teach us, for God to speak to us, for God to show us the way. And through His Word, we are able to access all of that. And I want you to know that the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is alive. And what you read has life. What you read is life itself. So when we are struggling with life, where do we run to? To the Word of God. When we are confused about life, where do we run to? The Word of God. When we do not know the next step, where do we head? To the Word of God, because it is life. So that is why we will keep on it. That is why we will read it. That is why we will put all ourselves to it, because it is the Word of God that brings life to us. Even when we are struggling, His Word shall bring life. Even when we are sick, His Word shall bring life. Even when things do not make sense for you, His Word shall bring life, and it will all bring meaning. So that's why we come and study together and pray together and worship together, believing for God to send more revelation to us and also to pave that way that is lost for us. We're handling the book of Matthew, and last time we closed at chapter 23, verse 12. And right now, I want us to continue with verse 13, and hopefully today we will complete verse 23 and get into prayer and worship. And Matthew chapter 23, verse 13. Remember, from verse 1 of chapter 23, Jesus is telling people about the Pharisees and the scribes. He's telling the people that they've led for years about the character of these guys. And it's somewhat interesting to see that Jesus comes out to call out the habits of the leaders of religion in the land of Israel at this time. You know, there are so many arguments and issues that we discuss today concerning calling out habits of religious leaders, calling out habits and character of those who are supposed to lead the people of God. And Jesus here is calling out these religious leaders. He's telling the people, actually, it's not just even about informing them that you guys are crooks, or you do not do as you say. He is telling the people that they also lead. Now, these leaders of yours act in a certain way. These leaders of yours put all these restrictions upon you, yet behind your back they do the negative. Jesus is calling out acts of religious leaders at that time. It's easy for us to think that the Pharisees were just a group of people who are opposing everything Jesus did. But then, before we get to the birth of Jesus, or in the period where the ministry of Jesus is brought to light to us, these are people who are handling religious affairs in the land of Israel. They're keeping the law of Moses. Actually, you remember at the start of chapter 23, Jesus says they are seated in the chair of Moses. They are in that position of responsibility or authority in the seat of Moses. So they are the leaders of religion in this period. And now he's calling them out. If there is something wrong with character, as far as religious circles are concerned, it is prudent upon us to call it out, because you have to inform people. Jesus is telling them about this so that they do not land in trouble, so that they are not led astray by the Pharisees. Now in verse 13, he's not done yet. He's already spoken a lot concerning them, but he's not done yet. And he goes on to tell them in verse 13 onwards, continuing about these scribes and Pharisees. So he starts and says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees." He adds this word, "hypocrites." "Because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." Jesus is saying, you yourselves as Pharisees, you as scribes, you do not enter into the kingdom of heaven. You do not want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, and you're blocking even those who want to enter. "I have come to bring this message of the kingdom. I have come to preach, to tell them about this kingdom, to tell the people to repent and turn from evil and do the things that bring glory to God, the things that advance the kingdom of heaven. I have come to speak to the people, and you're busy doing a campaign that I'm the false prophet, saying I'm the liar. I'm the man who's bringing confusion in the land." And then you are blocking them from entering into the kingdom. When you check in reference to Luke chapter 11, verse 52, he says, "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not enter, and you have hindered those who are entering." I am bringing knowledge to people. I'm telling them about the kingdom of God. I'm speaking words they've never had before. I'm speaking words that you cannot tell them. And I'm telling them about repentance. I'm telling them about this kingdom that is filled with miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm telling them about that kingdom, even where they are going after this earthly life. I'm telling them about eternal life, and you just don't want them to listen. You're on a campaign trail to spoil my name, and you are blocking people from entering. That's what Jesus is saying. That is what the hypocrites are doing. These Pharisees and scribes that he has called hypocrites, that's what they are doing. They do not want people to enter, and they're also not entering. Of course, for them, they won't enter because they want to maintain their power and authority, which Jesus is coming to dislodge. But for the people who want to enter, why don't you let them come in? You know, sometimes for those of us who have received a certain authority over the people of God, and we are leading these people, and we are the shepherds to these people, there are things we do that stop them from having a full manifestation of the kingdom of God. And we want them to look at us as a source of everything. If you want to pray, you come to me, I'll pray for you so that you get that which you want. But as far as the matters of the kingdom are concerned, If anyone asks of the Father, he will receive. He will give to him who asks. That is the kingdom principle. That ask and you shall receive. But then, for those who do not want you to access to enter in, they put a barrier to it. They say, I'm the gate. I am the source. If I do not bless you, you will not be blessed. If I don't pray for you, you will not receive a blessing. How unfortunate. Like the Pharisees, blocking those people from entering and accessing the kingdom of heaven. Now, he goes on and says, verse 14, what are you scribes and Pharisees? He again adds hypocrites. Now, for the next part where he's addressing them, he adds the word hypocrite. Because you devour widows' houses. If I pause there. Those who have lost their husbands, those women, you take them for granted. You manipulate them. You take their property because you're the leader. You tell them to sow into your ministry, even if it means selling everything that you have and giving it to the leader. And you shall be blessed. Those are things they say. It's not different from what the Pharisees would do. They would go to the widow who's already beaten by life, who's already confused and has no idea about what's coming next. And then they come out and tell them to give what they have. They devour the widow's house. They take authority. Because, you know, people who have lost, especially in their culture, where the men had so much great influence as far as the matters of the home are concerned, when the husband is dead, then there is that gap that is left. And these people would feel it, unfortunately, not for purposes and reasons of spiritual enhancement, but rather to deplete and to steal and to take away from those in need. And this is a habit even today that goes on. And people of God are being manipulated. People of God are being stolen from. People of God are being taken from because they are told that you give and you shall prosper. If you do not give, you shall not prosper. And they give everything they have. They give all the property they have. They give everything to the leader who has much already. And now, Jesus tells his Pharisees, you hypocrites, you devour widows' houses. And he says, and for a pretense, you make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Long prayer is not the problem here. And I don't want us to get this wrong, that Jesus is against long prayers. No, that's not the case. He's saying for pretense, there are people who make long prayers for pretense. For example, I need to show them that I know how to pray. So I'll drive them for an hour in prayer. I need to show them that I'm spirit-filled when it's a show. Pretense. Then there are those who are actually praying to God, yet their life and character does not portray what God demands of them. Pretense prayer. You take so long in the presence of God, and God just regards it as pretense. May God help us that we do not come out as people who are full of pretense. May God help us that we represent Him in a manner that pleases Him. And also, when we pray to Him, that He looks down into my heart and says, that is a heart that is pure. That is a heart that is approaching me in purity. It's not pretense. I'll pray for 5 minutes and He'll receive it when it has no pretense. I'll pray for 20 minutes, for 30 minutes, for 1 hour, for 2 hours and three. It doesn't matter, but it needs to reach Him when it is filled with honor and worship to Him, that there is no drop of pretense in the prayer that I make to God. Because long pretense prayer does not work for God. He actually tells them, because you do that, there's greater condemnation that is coming. Because you're pretending. Because you're not righteous. Because you're just covering up. Because you're putting up a show. greater condemnation is coming upon you. Verse 15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. Again, he says, hypocrites. Because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. We need to understand who a proselyte is. A proselyte, in this case, is somebody who was not originally by birth a Jew, but then they make them Jews. So they would travel as far as they can travel. They could go as far as Egypt, as far as Libya, as far as Cyrene, as far as Rome, and they would look for people to convert them. They would preach to them and tell them as far as Antioch. We read about Acts chapter 6, verse 5, a congregation, yeah, where there is a man called Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, that is mentioned. These are people who decide that I will become a Jew. I will become a Jew. And there's a process they used to carry out, of course. Therein is circumcision. Therein are words that you have to say and pronounce and a life you're supposed to live. Then they have converted you to become a proselyte. And now, these Pharisees would travel as far as they can go to just get one proselyte, to just make one a proselyte. They would go travel on water as far as they can go, travel on land as far as they can go. But Jesus adds that after they have done that, they make that person twice as much as a son of hell as themselves. The Pharisees were bad enough, but the proselytes they would make and bring them into that belief, they would make sure they are twice as bad. When you win people for the kingdom, when you win people for serving God, but then you also teach them to be the worst that they can be. Teaching them. Sometimes it happens in our teaching, in the things that you teach, in what you preach on the pulpit. And people are just getting worse and worse. Not better, but worse. You're speaking words that are not of the kingdom of God. And people who have come to accept Christ are instead becoming worse. And it's all done by the teacher, by the leader. That's what these Pharisees would do. And he uses the word, you make them a son of hell. It means that the acts, the character, everything that this person becomes after joining you becomes worse. Verse 16, woe to you, blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated. Now, they even shift attention from the temple to the things of the temple, to the wealth of the temple, to the items of the temple. And now focus is not on God, but the things he gives. Focus is not on your worship to God, but on the car. Focus is being portrayed to people that this is more important. The wealth you have is more important than God. The money you have is more important than God. And that is portrayed to people. They tell them what is important by telling them that swear by the gold of the temple and don't focus on the temple itself is trying to say the riches that come, the wealth that is adorned in this temple is much more important than the temple. Yet the temple is what is key because that is where Christ dwells. That is where God dwells. That's where the worship is supposed to happen. And Jesus says in verse 17, you fools and blind men, which is more important? The gold or the temple that sanctify the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering on it is obligated. You blind men, he says, which is more important? The offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? Therefore, whoever swears by the altar, swears both by the altar and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple, swears both by the temple and him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven, swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Now, Jesus is even making it clearer to the people now. He's saying, when you swear by the temple, you're swearing by the temple and by him who dwells in the temple. And he also goes on and says, if you swear by the throne of God, yeah, you're swearing both by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Is it really necessary for you to swear? Is it really a deal breaker if you do not swear? Matthew chapter 5:34 says, but I said to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And it says in verse 37 of the same chapter, Matthew 5, that, but let your statement be yes. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no, for anything beyond this is of evil. There's no need to swear. You don't have to swear by heaven. Because when you do that, you're swearing by the throne of God and him who sits on it. And oftentimes, we swear and we are lying. And there you've placed God in this decision of yours, in this scenario. Let your yes be yes, your no, no. Just say it as it is. You do not need to swear. Verse 23, woe to the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law. This is interesting. He's saying the Pharisees are good tithers. They actually tithe of everything. They even go to the detail of tithing the least of the cumin that they've harvested, of the mint they've picked from the garden. So they are very particular that they need to give a tithe on everything. On every shilling you get, you take off the tithe. Of everything item you sell, you take off the tithe. Very, very direct and precise. You do not miss the point. Jesus is telling these Pharisees. And he adds an interesting statement that you've neglected the weightier provisions of the law. What does this mean? Why is he saying weightier provisions? Is he saying that the tithe is not important? No. That's not what Jesus is saying. He says there's something that is heavier. He's calling it the weightier provision of the law. Something that has high regard. And that is justice, mercy, and faithfulness. That's what he speaks. He says, you have made it a point to tithe, but you've neglected the weightier provisions of the law. And that is justice. Justice. Be just in all you do. Be fair to everybody. Dear Pharisees, that's what he's saying. Mercy. Have mercy upon people. Care for the needy. Feed the hungry. Care for the stranger. Look to the person in need. Have mercy upon others. Look to their pains and attend to them. Those are the weightier matters of the law. And faithfulness, be a faithful person, weightier matters that Jesus speaks of here. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. He says, do not neglect giving that tithe, but these are weightier matters. Attend to them. These are the things you should have looked at. So as I'm being very precise in my giving, the tithe, I need to look to the poor. I need to look to the hungry. I need to look to the one who is in need and attend to them, because that is the weightier matter. We might build all buildings, build the biggest church that there is, but if we do not look at justice, We do not look at charity. We do not look at mercy. We do not look at faithfulness, which are the weightier matters. These buildings are just but buildings. And it is good. There are things we do, and indeed they are good, but they are weightier matters. And we need to look at them. And it goes on in verse 25, says, "You blind guides, who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. Before I show the entire world that I'm the best there is, let me look into myself and clean myself and clean my life. Before everybody else looks at you, even sometimes in pretense to see how good you are, you know who you are. You know who you are in the dark. You know who you are when nobody's seeing. You know what is inside your heart. Clean it up and make it pure. May God give us the grace to clean up our hearts that we are pure and pleasing to Him. Because when the inside is clean, the outside will most definitely show. The Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you clean the inside, the words you speak shall bring life. And it shall be seen by everybody. And he says in verse 27, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but on the inside they are full of dead men's bones and are all unclean." Now, in their time, they used to whitewash tombs. Of course, on the top, on the front, on the outside, they would put those patterns so that it looks clean and attractive. But then on the inside, because even by law they were not supposed to touch the dead bodies, it is uncleanliness. And Jesus is clearly saying, you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. You build the tombs. He tells them, you whitewash them. You like them. On the inside is unclean, but on the top it looks good. Verse 29. You build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of righteous and say, if we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the guilt of your fathers. You serpents and brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? You're saying we'll not have killed the prophets, but then he is the greatest of them all, and you want him dead. Therefore, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, so that upon you may fall the guilt of all righteous blood shed on the earth. For the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is telling them about the Pharisees. He's given them the picture of the Pharisees. He's told them about who these people are. He's told them about how they kill the prophets, because even he, they come to kill. And says, Next time I return to Jerusalem, there will be a chant, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But then that will be the point at which they will want to claim my life to. God looks to us and he's concerned about our lives. God looks to you and me and he's concerned about us. These words he's saying, he's talking about the Pharisees. But then these same words apply to me and you. And they all point toward the surrender to God, to the things of God, to doing everything in the way he would love us to do it, to stand for him, to represent him at all times. There is no pretense in my life that if I say I'm a believer, then I indeed I am. If I speak and say that I'm a child of God, then indeed I am. That is what God wants from me. I'm not like a whitewashed tomb. That I'm not somebody who's doing things to please others, yet inside I'm the worst of them all. And may God give us the grace. May you give us the grace, O God. May you give us the grace, O God, to live for you. May you give us the grace, O God, to stand for you. May you give us the grace, O God, to do the things that bring honor to you. Oftentimes, Lord, we've been hypocrites. Oftentimes, Lord, we've been hypocrites. Oftentimes, we have taken you for granted, O God. Oftentimes, we've even led others astray, O God. But we seek for your mercy. We seek for your forgiveness, dear God. We seek for you, mighty Father, to help us, O Lord, to be those people that are worthy of the calling. That our character is right. That what we say matches what is in our hearts. For Lord, it's you we need. Come on now and call on the Lord. And tell him to come into your life and help you. To come into your life and help you be the best that there is. You may even be a leader. You may even be a religious leader. Call on him. And ask him to help you. And ask him to help you. Ask God to help you. He will come and help you. We are tired of hypocrisy, O God. Help us. Help us, O God. Some of us, Lord, have blocked people from entering into your presence. Help us, O God. Some of us have lied. In your name, help us. Some of us have made oaths, Lord, and not kept them. Have mercy upon us. And help us, O God. For we are your children. Talk to God now. He's hearing. He's hearing. And he's going to help you. He's going to help you. Because that is what he does. He helps you. May his blood cover you right now. May his favor cover you right now. Talk to him, he's listening. Shake up, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. We need your help, oh God. We need your help, oh God. We need your help, oh God. We look nowhere else but to you, oh God. We look to you, oh God, to change our hearts. We look to you, oh God, to help us. Our hope is in you. Our hope is in you, oh God. Our hope is in you, our friend. Our hope is in you, our friend and King. We look to you, oh God. We look to you, oh God. We look to your loving kindness, oh God. We look to your mercy, oh God. Help us love. Help us care. Help us reach out to the needy. Help us attend to the weightier matters of your kingdom. Help us stand for you, Almighty God. For we need you. And we need to do your will, O God. Jehovah, the great King, the magnificent one, there's none like you. There's none like you. There's none like you. Tell him that there's none like him. Tell him now that there is none like him and exalt him, the one who is worthy. The one who is worthy of our praise. The one who is worthy of all honor. May God transform you right now.
Thank you for joining us for our study today. We believe that the Word of God is alive and new each day. Open your heart and let God speak to you. You can also access our teachings through our Podbean channel or reach us through our website, BibleInDepth.com.